But hopefully, as we have approached this book, we understand that the theme of the book has to do with the unity of the body of Christ. Now, there are 8 different areas, I believe, that Paul addresses separately, but he addresses them in such a way that I'm convinced brings back to the understanding of what unity is in the body, or at least how it's demonstrated or lived out. As we conclude the 15th and go into the 16th chapter tonight, one of the things that with which I would like to really draw our attention is the understanding that this world is not all that there is. Let me say this again, because I want you to, if nothing else, maybe the repetition will help it stay. We know this as Christians, but sometimes as humans we forget it. This world is not all that there is. My house, my car, my clothes, my body, my job, my fame, my prestige is not all that there is. Matter of fact, it's a small, small portion of all that there is. The kingdom that's going to be revealed is far more than we in our present finite comprehension can grasp. You see, we are part of the kingdom of God, and I don't want us to ever forget that. And I'm never going to tell you anything different than that. But I do not believe, if I understand what the Holy Spirit has said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the part of the kingdom of which we are a part of the kingdom, of which we presently have manifest, is not all that there is not all that is to be revealed. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit, cannot partake of, cannot be part of the kingdom that is yet to be delivered. We're going to be looking primarily tonight in chapter 15, beginning with verse 50, going through chapter 16 and verse 4, and then we'll jump over and see 16 and verse 13 at the end. But as we look at the text, notice here that our real being is spiritual. And if there is a part of our Christianity that maybe we do not give a proper amount of attention, is our spiritual side. Now we look over and we can see in John chapter 4 and verse 24, the verse with which we're all familiar, God is a spirit. We know that God is not flesh and blood. We know that there is a spirit aspect. And we're told in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 that we are created in the image of God. That's interesting. Because then what is it about us that's the image of God? If God is not flesh and blood, then it has to be about something else other than our epidermis, our skeletal structure. It has to do with the person, the breath of life that was breathed inside of man. When we look in chapter 3 of Ephesians in verses 8 through 13, Paul is teaching the church that part of our ministry has to do with speaking to the spiritual realm. Or as Paul would say in Ephesians, in the heavenlies. The church reveals the mystery in the heavenlies. We spend so much time, and rightly so, talking about what the church is to be doing here on earth, but how much time is actually spent saying, okay, are we, by our actions, by our teachings, by our existence, are we conveying the message that we are to be conveying in the heavenly realm? We can look over, start over in Ephesians chapter 6 and begin with verse 10 and look down in particular and see that verse 12, that our war, our battle, is not with flesh and blood. It's in that spiritual realm. I don't know about you, but That's a realm that I have not given proper attention to studying and understanding.
Well, we don't know a whole lot about it.
But yet God has revealed enough about it for us to be aware of it and us to recognize our responsibility in that realm. If I am going to consider my role, my spiritual role, my spiritual being, I have to look beyond the physical. I'm not sure I'm always able to do that. I'm not sure I'm always able to comprehend what that means for me. An example. I have sat and listened to, when I go to a workshop, and there are some great speakers, you can identify, maybe you've gone to hear Jim McGuigan, or maybe you've gone to hear somebody that you really respect. And you sit there, and you're really paying attention, and you really are liking what you hear, and the person has been teaching, and it goes past an hour. Have you noticed what you find yourself doing? Maybe you don't. Have you? One of the things I find myself doing is wiggling in the seat. I can only sit so long that I've got to move. I've got to do something. I'm so thankful that our worship service allows us to stand up and sit down and shake out the legs a little bit, because I'm afraid it would be even more distracting, or the distraction would be more where I wouldn't hear as much or participate as much. I want us to understand that our flesh and blood is part of who we are. That's where the mortal body parts house the immortal part of who we are. That's, as we look there, we see in chapter 15, verse 53, that there is a terrestrial part and there's a celestial part. There's the physical body and there is the spiritual body. And where we give a lot of time, attention to our physical being. Think of how much time we spend working to provide a house, to provide a car, to provide clothes, to provide food for our body. Think of how much time we spend on doing the things or trying to get to do the things that the physical body enjoys. And whereas I would not tell you that not taking care of the body is important, because it is. It's that which God has chosen to house, that which is most important. But our bodies are tents to house who we are. Isn't that what Paul was to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4? That we just have this tent for a temporary being, for a short amount of time. It's only here, but it's not all of who we are. It's our bodies, our physical bodies, in verses 42 and 43, that are going to be changed, glorified. It is our physical bodies that are the celestial aspect, a part of us. As I looked over this chapter and I tried to delve into the text to gain the big picture of what Paul is saying there, the best I could come up with, and maybe you can help me with this, maybe you understand the same way. Do you remember in Acts chapter 7, while Stephen was being stoned, he looked up and what did he see? Jesus standing at the right hand side of God. Remember the text there in chapter 7 in, I've lost my place, Acts chapter 7, read the whole chapter, it's good for you. And he saw a body. I don't believe it was a flesh and bone body. I believe it was a glorified body. How do I believe it's flesh and bone? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. But Jesus is there. He's there in a form that was recognizable to Stephen. I don't know if Stephen knew him before, seen him before. I don't know relationship, anything there. All I know, the text says, Stephen says, behold. And he saw him standing. As I look here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, it tells me that my physical body, not only my physical body, but the bodies that come forth from the ground are going to be changed. They're going to be metamorphosized into some entity that can inherit the kingdom of God, that can participate and have that which God has planned. And it says in verses 48 through 52 that we will be changed to be like the heavenly man. And I'm taking that to mean Jesus. And others. So you look at the text there, whatever's going to take place with this physical body after it comes forth from the grave or takes place before I get to heaven, is I'm going to be made like a heavenly being. And they say, what does all this have to do? As I look at this 15th chapter and 16th chapter, one of the things I see as Paul closes this book is that Paul is trying to help us gain a glimpse beyond the physical realm. Trying to help us see that there's something more. One of my favorite songs is, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." You know, the treasures that are laid up there, I'm not sure we can comprehend. But I do hold the conviction that I will be with my Savior living on a plane that's not physical, that's not earthly. I don't think I'll ever have to worry about my weight again. I don't think that's going to be part of the issue in heaven. I don't think I'm going to have to worry about my voice giving out. No indication of that as I read about those who are singing praises to God. Paul writes, goes on and says, "Death, where is your sting?" Sting, death is the sting. Or sin is the sting of death. And as he states this, one of the things he tries to bear out is that death is not something for which we need to fear as Christians. It's a transition. It's a point to where we move from one plane to another, one realm to another, to a realm to where we grow. Look in verse 57. I want to read this. If you read along with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 57. Where the Apostle Paul says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You want a glimpse of the future? There it is. You want a glimpse of heaven? There it is. Get a glimpse of what's going to take place. I don't understand where and how and when and all those things. But I've tried to imagine it. Imagine if you... There's been a couple times that there's been a ball game on. And Tim's recorded it, had it recorded. And he has been very vocal at services. And that's commended. He was at services. Where he'd say, "Don't tell me. I don't want to hear. Don't tell me." Well, imagine somebody's just told you, "This is the victory. Our Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. Our changing to be like the heavenly beings, the heavenly man." That's the end game. That's the winning play. We don't know what all is going to take place between now and then. But we already know how the play ends. We already know the outcome. And the outcome is far more than what our physical, mortal beings can comprehend, much less appreciate. That's the same confidence that the Holy Spirit gives to the Apostle Paul over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Do you hear him? What is that verse we love, Anthony? There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has, what's it done? It set us free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? That sin was that sting of death. Paul says here in Corinthians, there's no more sting. We as Christians have gotten a glimpse. Now, how does that affect us? How does that help us? In one aspect, we could say, as the Apostle John would say in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, I tell you these things, that you may know you have eternal life. If you know what's coming, how does that affect your life? Imagine, if you will, your son or your daughter calls you. Anthony, imagine Tim calls you and says, Dad, I've just paid cash for a brand new travel home for you. It's the kind that Mom wanted and likes. It's paid off. The title's in your name. I have mailed that title with the key, and it's going to be delivered next week. How do you think Anthony is going to be until this next week? My son's getting married August 11th. You know you're going to hear about it sometime. You know what he says now? Dad, it's only 72 days away. I think he's more excited about it than I am. Paul says, I'm telling you these things that you may know you've got eternal life. You've got something far more valuable than anything physical. That's why I'm telling you. Now what's that do? We come on down to chapter 16 and notice how Paul closes off this writing. The first two verses, we know those verses almost by heart, where Paul talks about the collection of saints. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given orders to the church of the Galatia, so you must do also. And we have the instruction there. And why? And if you read on down, because Paul is going to come through, and the churches are working together for a cause, for a benevolent cause. Paul's going through and taking money, getting freely given money from the church to take it to Jerusalem. Why? There was a benevolent need there. There was a ministry need there? And Paul says, I'm coming through here. That's what we're doing, making an effort. Why? Why is that important? If I look at the text and understand the text correctly, one of the things that Paul, in concluding his book, is once again demonstrating how we are all one of the same body. Why is it important for the churches in Galatia, for the church in Corinth, to be taking a contribution so that when Paul comes, there be no gatherings when he comes? Because the church in Jerusalem is just as important as the church in Galatia or the church in Corinth. And together they are ministering to a need that exists in Jerusalem. What is that demonstrate to us is the importance of understanding the unity of the body. You see, Paul stepped outside of saying just the unity of the church in Corinth, but draws in a bigger picture of that we are part of the church of our Lord. And then he concludes the letter. I'm going to look at verse 13 in a minute. He concludes the letter with helping us understand who we are in God. As he says there, watch, stand fast in the faith, be strong, and let all you do be done in love. What builds the bond of unity but love? What causes my wife to overlook or cover a multitude of my sins but love? What causes me to be quiet in occasions and not say things that come to mind that I really want to say that would cause a disruption of relationship other than love? The Holy Spirit says, let all that you do be done in love. He says, it's beyond this physical realm. Yes, we live in the body. I'm not talking about some Greek philosophy about how the soul is separate than the body and how the soul and the spirit just inhabit a body. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that, other than the fact that we're all made up of the same essence. But Paul helps us to understand there's far more to who we are, to our life, to our ministry, to our unity, than just our physicalness. I would encourage each of us to take some time to see exactly the role we are playing, that we're living on a spiritual plane. What am I testifying in the heavenlies? How am I fighting that spiritual battle Satan is waging with me? How am I strengthening the body of Christ on a spiritual plane? One of the great things about the Lord's church, and in this congregation in particular, is the love that exists between the members, and the common love that exists for our Father in heaven. But please do not be fooled. Satan will use any opportunity he can to steal that away, to cause division in the body. God loves each and every one of you and desires for all of us to be unified, stronger. Isn't that what Solomon was to say about the cord, three cords being stronger than two, stronger than one? Let's resolve. Let's make the decision to look beyond here and today to see all that God has for us, at least more than what we've been able to in the past. There's a way we can encourage or help you. Grant us the opportunity while we stand and while we sing.